Over the next 2 months in the fall here, we're going to have a series where our topic starts with the word why. And the questions that we're going to be asking are the questions that skeptics and unbelievers might have as they consider the Bible, the truths of the Bible, but also consider the Christian faith. Many people in the world outside of church life have questions, and they have a real desire to know the answer to the question. Some people, they use the question because they have a belief that's rooted down deep and they don't want to change, so they attempt to ask questions to put you off or to deflect any serious conversation that you might have with them about God, about the Bible, even about eternal life. I was asking a guy if you were to die in the next half hour, where would you spend eternity? And he said, why do people say smoking's a sin? That was his reply. Okay, now that's called a smokescreen. That's called a deflection. So we're going to look at some serious questions that people have. We're not going to look at questions that Christians would ask. We're going to try to answer questions that people who aren't Christians might be thinking about. So here's some things about just questions in general if you look at the Bible. Depending on your version of the Bible, there are at least 3,200 questions in the Old and New Testament. 3,200 questions. If you go to the Old Testament, there's about 2,200 questions. Again, it depends on your version of the Bible. You go to the New Testament, that leaves you about 1,000 questions. In the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you will see about 300 questions that Jesus himself asked. And most of his questions are pretty simple questions. They're 3, 4, 5 word sentences that are very, very profound. Jesus himself has about 180 questions that are directed towards him, and those aren't always real positive questions. They're questions that are attacking questions. They're questions with an underlying motive. They're questions based upon some false assumption or a misunderstanding about spirituality. Questions. But why questions are really good questions for a specific reason. If you go into the Bible, here are a few types of questions that you might hear. Here's one of the earliest questions in the Bible. It's in Genesis 3:9. Where are you? Have you ever had your spouse ask you that question? They text you that question? God is texting the question, in a sense, to Adam and Eve. They have sinned. They are hiding. And God asks the question, where are you? Now, where are you? There's a lot of skeptics, people who would classify themselves as an agnostic. They're not sure if there's a God, or an atheist somehow in their little mind. They're convinced there's no God. They say, well, how could an all-knowing God ask the question? I thought he was all-knowing. Duh. Where are you? Forces a person to think about their relationship, think about their location. God knows exactly where they are. He's asking them if they know where they are after having sinned. Another question in Genesis 4:9. See if you know who said this. Am I my brother's keeper? Cain said that to who? To God. Why would he ask such a question? He just murdered who? His brother. So am I supposed to look at, boy, do you see the arrogance in that question? Here's another one in Exodus 4:2. What is in your hand? Do you know who said the question? God did. Who did he say it to? Moses, as he was going to call Moses. And that question should make you and I think about, he's asking Moses, he's calling Moses into the ministry. He says, what's in your hand? In other words, what do you have? What skills do you have? What abilities do you have? What resources do you have? That's a great question to all of us. Because God wants to use us in his ministry. He's simply saying, what's in your hand? Because I can use anything that you've got if you are willing to give it. Another great question is found in Isaiah 6:8. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Who said that? Usually if you say the word God, you're getting close. Okay, God says that to Isaiah. Whom shall I send? The Father says this. Who will go for us? It's an early indication of something called the Trinity. Who's going to represent God the Father and the Holy Spirit in this country? Isn't that a good question? If God were to say to this church today, who will go for us? How many would pop right up and raise their hand? Say, here I am, Lord, send me. Would you? Or would you have to think about it? Would you have to talk to your spouse? Would you have to have a vote? Isaiah simply served God because God said, I've got a need. Are you willing? Another question, Mark 8:29. Who do you say I am? Any guesses who posed that question? Who? Jesus. Who did he say it to? To his disciples. Who do you guys say I am? In other words, am I the Messiah? Am I just a prophet? Am I a teacher of some kind? Am I a lunatic? Who y'all say I am? That's a great question if you were to pose that to you. What's your real understanding of who Jesus is today? You see what questions do? They force you to what? And they force you to analyze your life and look at what's really important to you and what you're holding on to and what you really believe. So as we look at this series, we're going to look at all kinds of questions because questions make us think differently and questions make us think deeply about ourselves, about life. Questions can challenge you to examine your own life. Have you ever had somebody pose a question to you and you just said, oh man, I don't know, let me think on that. For example, do you really love me? Ever had a spouse, friend, girlfriend, boyfriend say that to you? It forces you to assess. That's not the type of question, do you really love me, where you can say, you know, let me get back with you. I've got a hockey game here or something to watch. You're put on the spot and you have to come back with an answer. They challenge you to examine yourself. They can change a course of action, a question can. They can encourage intimacy. Will you marry me? That you can learn more about a subject or a question or a person, subject or a person by asking a question. It can direct our thinking in a specific course of action. Rather than going 10 ways, you could go in just one way. And questions allow us to clearly communicate what we're thinking and feeling to another person. Questions. That's what we're talking about for 2 months. In John 1:38, a couple of John the Baptist students began to follow Jesus. They had been with John. John saying, hey, the Messiah is coming. Jesus comes walking up from the wilderness back north along the Jordan River. And Johnny B., as I call him, looks, sees him. He says, look, there's the Lamb of God who I told you about. The two guys fall in because they're Jewish. You walk behind a great teacher or a master or a rabbi in what I call lockstep. If he moves his left foot, guess what foot you move? Left foot and then right foot. You follow, and you follow about one step behind him. Here's Jesus walking by himself. All of a sudden, two guys are behind him and like real close. If this was America, Jesus would probably turn around and do a karate move on these guys, or he would start running. When somebody falls in step right behind you, you get a little concerned. Here's what it says in John 1:38. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, watch the depth of the question. The Bible is so hard to understand, isn't it? It's like over the top of our thinking. What's the question? Isn't that a great question? Now, he's Jewish. They're Jewish. He's a rabbi. They're not. They're following just the way disciples would behind a rabbi. So the rabbi turns around. He says, what do you want? It's a great question. You know, we could stop, never speak on the question again for the entire 2 months and just ask you this one question. What do you want with Jesus? You're here. Some of you profess to have a faith in him. A saving faith. Not that you just believe he's there, but you actually believe that he is the Messiah. He's the Lord. He's the Son of God. He's the risen one. He would say, yeah, so what do you want? That's a great question. You ever think about that? What do you want from your profession of faith in Jesus? Do you just want fire insurance? In other words, not to go to hell? That's it? That's all you want from him? You want to check something off a little religious checklist? You want to be on the in club of Grace Church? What do you want from him today? Do you see how profound that question is? You each should go home and really think about your relationship with him. What do you really want? I can't tell you what you should want, but you should know. I want more from God and my relationship with him than to go to heaven. That's nice. I want more than that. I want to live a life that pleases him and serves him. How about you? So before you nod your head and say, are you? Just like if the lotto were $1 billion today. Oh, I want to win the lotto. Did you buy a... Because there's no chance anywhere that you're going to win it unless you buy a ticket. Well, you say you want to serve God. You want to live and accomplish his mission. So the question is, what step have you taken to do that? Does that make sense? Let's ponder that for a moment. What do you really want from him? So questions can really make you think differently. There, in the art of communication, there's something called investigative or interrogative questions. In terms of communication, if you think of a pyramid, the bottom two levels are where most Americans live. The absolute lowest form of communication is cliche. Nice day, isn't it? I don't care about your opinion. I'm just uttering. I'm a male. That's what males do. They grunt. They say things. Guy's buried his Jeep or his truck in mud. Walk up and go, stuck, isn't it? Wasn't that deep, ladies? But for a guy, we feel like we've instantly bonded. That's where men live. Okay, the next level is factual. Hey, how about Michigan yesterday? What was the score? And see, all I'm looking for is the fact. I started with a cliche, but then I added factual level of communication. What was the score? You tell me, I feel complete. That's where most men grunt, in those two levels. No one's ever taught the majority of men how to go any higher in terms of communication. Ladies, you ever get frustrated with men? Watch this. How was your day, honey? Give me the answer, ladies. I do that to Ev. I return to my gruntness. Okay? Because no one ever really trains men how to be intimate, how to share feelings or emotions or their hopes and their dreams. It doesn't mean we don't have them. We're stunted. No one ever took the time. And most women get frustrated and they quit trying to train their man to speak properly. What do you want from Jesus? Great question. Watch this. Heaven. Better yet, men. I don't know. Ladies. When we think of questions, we go to investigative, interrogative questions. They are referred to as a wuh. The wuh words. Say wuh. Now watch this. Wuh words help us to move beyond cliches, beyond factual conversation, and they guide us to understanding, they guide us to the sharing of our feelings, and the highest level is our dreams and what we are focusing our life towards. What questions? Now you know these. There are seven of them. Who, what, where, when, why, which, whose. They're all unique. And in the what category, we add one more. It's how. Those are investigative questions. So when you ask a question, for example, what was the score of the Michigan game? And you tell me the score, that's factual. What was the best part of the game? How did they play, really? Where was the game played? You see how that continues the conversation? Say what? You need to learn these, the what questions. In this series, we are going to use a chart. Were we able to put this online, Lise, or Les? Yes? What? It's on the YouVersion notes. So if you don't know how to do that, Leslie will be in the central kiosk. She will be glad to tell you. Here we are. Who, where, when, why, what, which, how, and whose. The who deals with the person. Who was there? I want to know, but what do I want to know? Names. Does that make sense? Relationships. When I go to when, when deals with time, deals with occasion, deals with the moment. Each of those questions takes a conversation in a different direction. And the more the wuh you use in a conversation, the more you get to know people. In home groups, these are the kind of questions we want to use. Home groups are not there to talk about your farming. It's not there to talk about your sports. It's not there to talk about your grandkids or your dogs. It's to talk about you, your relationships, and how you are doing with God. Those other things are nice, but that's not the primary purpose of a home group. Are you with me? Okay. So this, we'll use this several times throughout the series. What kind of questions? There you go. Here, I did some research on Google. We call Google here at Grace what? The Holy Spirit. Thank you. You can find out anything. All right. The 1,000 most asked why questions. We're only going to focus out of the 8 on why. All the why questions of the Bible. Okay? Why helps us to have a reason, a rationale. We want to learn your purpose in doing something. Have you ever been asked the word why and it made you mad? Regularly. Why can be an attacking question. An attacking question. We use that all the time in a marriage relationships. What did you do this morning? Well, I got up. Why? Doesn't that just make you grit your teeth, right? First thing in the morning? Where have you been? I've been outside working. Say it. There you go. It can aggravate a person if it's not used correctly. So here's 10 of the 1,000 most asked why questions on Google in a 6-month period of time. Okay, I'm not going to go through all 1,000. Number 100. It's deep. It's profound. Why do dogs wag their tail? The depth of American knowledge. 9,900 people in a 6-month period Googled that. Here's the scary part. Most of those people can vote. Here's number 18. Jump up the list. Number 18. You would think it would be very profound. Why did the chicken cross the road? Obviously not a farmer. 33,100 people in a 6-month period of time. Number 6, drum roll. Okay. Why are cats afraid of a cucumber? 60,500 people want to know that. Number 2. Why is the sky blue? 135,000 people. Now that's number 2, 135,000. Number 1, 2,240,000 times in a 6-month period. Do you see the difference between 1 and 2? This is what weighs upon our soul here in America. Why is there a leap day? There you go. That's Americans for you. Now, do you ever find yourself asking God the question, why? Why with something, or just simply the word, why? Lord, why did this happen to me or our family? Better yet, why did you allow this? You see, usually when we use why, there's an underlying assumption that's faulty, some misunderstanding that you're trying to not necessarily clarify, it's accusatory. Why did you allow this to happen to me? Do you see that? I'm accusing God of something. God could tell me, do you think I'm really going to care? No. We generally ask why questions because we're torqued at somebody. It could be, why me? Why now? Have you ever wondered, is it okay to ask God why? It almost feels naughty. I don't want to question God. He's got the big G on his chest, right? But we won't say it out loud. We'll just mutter it to ourselves where? Internally. Is it okay to ask God why? When something unexpected happens in our life and we can't frame it up, our little peewee brains, I don't care what your IQ is, you have a finite mind in an infinite universe. We think somehow we have the right to know everything, but that would sort of make you God, wouldn't it? There's a God desire in all of us because we all want to control. We all feel we should be in the know, and we all feel that somebody else should ask our what? Our opinion or our permission. Yeah? Don't just sit there. Isn't that true? We all have a little God complex, so we ask the question, why? Generally speaking, it's negative. There's some good why questions because we have good motives at times. But generally, there's an accusatory tone to us when we use the word why. We feel we're entitled to know information more than what's been given to us. Well, pray for Carol and Jim. They're having problems. Watch. Why? Or what kind? Why would you want to know that? Couldn't you just what? Pray? But sometimes we want to have the power, so we want to know. Sometimes we feel we're entitled to know, more so than somebody else. Sometimes we want the answer to why so we can control, we can be in charge, we can manipulate. Sounds evil, doesn't it? Welcome to humanity. That's who we are at times. If we're honest, many of us think we should be immune to having our lives upset. Yes? Don't just sit there and act all sorts of holy and pious now. We don't like having our lives upset. Sometimes it's fueled by what I call our nationalistic view of life. We're Americans. We're the best. Why should we have to go to a store and not have the product we want sitting there ready for me to grab? Why is the gas so high? Why are they doing that? We're Americans. Huh. That make you better than everybody else on planet Earth? We're 330 billion people, or 330 million people in a world of 8 billion growing. Why do you think you're better? But we do. Don't you? Or are you Costa Rican or something? We all, as Americans, have this little chip on our shoulders. Somehow we're better than everybody. What about our spiritual views? Well, how could this happen? I'm God's child. I repented of my sin, and now look, my child's in the hospital. Come on, God, do something. Don't our little kids talk to us like that at times? How does that make you feel? Nationalistic views, spiritual views, personal views. There are those people sitting here. And we all have this in us, some more than others. You're better than other people. You own more land. You have a higher paying job. You dress a certain way. You've got a nicer house. You're better than a lot of people. You ever think that? Can you be honest? Then there's all these other views. I'm white. I'm better than you, right? I have a higher education than you. I have more money. All these things enter into why we don't think our lives should be upset. Yes or no? About 8 of you thought so. There's a little bit of all of that in each of us, and I dare say you just need to dig around and come face to face with it. People have an evil side in them. No matter how much we try to hide it, no matter how much we try to educate it out or reform ourselves, it's only Jesus that can work in our lives and change us. Agreed? We feel we're entitled to the abundant life. After all, Jesus promised that in John 10:10. If you don't believe it, just go there and read the scripture, John 10:10. We're supposed to have the abundant life. He said we'd have it. And then you look at your paycheck, You look at your work situation, look at your family situation, you go, I ain't feeling so abundant. Because we forget the other thing that Jesus said in John 16, and it's, I believe it's verse 33, in this world you will have trouble. Somehow we think we're immune. And we want to know what question? Why? Why is this happening? We forget that in Hebrews 11, the Hall of Fame, most of the people that are mentioned there had a really tough life, and we never see many of them say, why? Living in a corrupt world, having trouble is part of life. And when we say why, you're either saying it for a good reason or you're saying it for a really bad reason, and you're accusing God that somehow he's not being fair to who? To you. So, in the Bible, most of the why questions come from Christians. Do you realize that? They come from us, not people out there, because they don't profess to have a God. They're not talking to God every day. You are. So here's some why questions by people in the Bible. Moses, you ever hear of him? Numbers chapter 11:11. He asked the Lord, why have you brought this trouble on your servant? You ever thought that? Then you and Moses are two peas in a pot. How about David asks God this question in Psalm 10:1. Why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? None of us have ever asked that, have we? Felt like God wasn't there? How about Habakkuk, the great prophet in chapter 1, verse 3? The whole book is all the why questions. He can't figure God out. He wants to have answers to life. He says, why do you make me look at injustice? Because the country's living in a pile of poopa, sort of like America. Why do I have to live in a world like this? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Then there's good old Job, chapter 7, verse 20 of his book. If I have sinned, what have I done to you? You will see everything we do. Why have you made me your target, God? How have I become a burden to you? In other words, he's going, I'm a good guy. Why are you picking on me? You getting the point here? It's generally us that ask the why questions, and generally it's us that have an ulterior motive. We have a misunderstanding or a faulty assumption about life and about God. The disciples asked Jesus in John 9:2, Rabbi, his disciples asked him, what's the word? Why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sin or his parents' sins? Even the disciples couldn't figure out life. So if they couldn't and they walked with him, what makes you think you can? Right? Jesus asked the why question. Dang, if Jesus can ask a why question, maybe it's okay if what? We do. Here's what Jesus said. My God, why have you abandoned me? Woo! Even Jesus couldn't get it at times. Everybody say why. There you ask God a question today. So I asked the question, can you ask God why? The answer is yes. But you want to ask for the right reason. Don't accuse God of something. Just ask the question why. Now, is he going to answer you? You can ask him. Like Santa Claus, think of Santa. Don't kids ask for all sorts of things? Does it mean you're going to get it? No, but you can ask. The answer is yes. God is a loving Father. He desires to hear from you. In 1 John 5:14, it says this, and we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. If your desire in asking the question why is to honor God and to help you to serve him better, knock yourself out. Ask that kind of a why question all the time. Just don't get angry at God, because it's not going to go very well for you if you do. And don't accuse him of faulty motives, or use your faulty motives to accuse him, because maybe you don't understand him or life well enough to accuse him of something. Yeah? God has a master plan always in our best interests because he's our dad, he loves us. He has a plan for you. So our response to his plan reveals a lot about our understanding of him and life, and also it reveals a lot about your own spiritual maturity. Because if you feel you have a right to know everything in life, that says something about your faith and your trust in him. Yes? So, we're entitled to ask, make sure your motive is correct. Someone has written these words, he is not in the business of explaining everything to us. He is not in the business of, say it, explaining everything to us. He's in the business of sustaining us as his plan unfolds. That's a brilliant statement. Doesn't owe you an answer. If he feels it's necessary in your life, he will reveal the answer to you. But sometimes we just have to ask the question, why did this happen, Lord? You know, I'm not accusing him. I just want to know. And God may reveal it to you. He may not. The question is, are you going to go on with life and serve him and serve others? Here's an illustration I heard a long time ago. Many of you can relate to this if you had a granny or a mom or somebody that used to cross-stitch. Okay, my wife Sherry cross-stitched. She was a master at the art of cross-stitching. And there'd be times I'd be sitting on the floor and she's sitting in the chair and I'd sort of look up and whatever she's cross-stitching, I'm looking at the bottom side of it. It sort of looked like that. And I thought, that's ugly. Why would anybody stitch something that dumb? It's because of my viewpoint, I didn't get it. Can you relate to that? It's only when you have a higher perspective of life do you understand what's going on. That really illustrates us and God. God has a plan. From our vantage point, in our limited brain capacity, in our short life expectancy, we're not always going to understand what he's doing. We have to trust that the person who is above us has more knowledge and more skill than we do. Does that make sense to you? So that's the idea of a grandmother or somebody who's stitching. And in this case, the little girl felt shorted that somehow Granny didn't trust her. Granny was making her something ugly. She couldn't figure out all the projects that Granny was working on, so she started complaining. Well, why are you making something so ugly? Why are you spending your time on that? We know that cross-stitching is an art. It takes a lot of precision and a lot of careful planning to do it and do it well. What the little girl didn't understand, that what Granny up there was doing was cross-stitching a design on a blanket for somebody in the hospital. That another project she was working on was a banner for the girl's room that as she got up in the morning, she would say, God loves you. All she saw was a mess of threads. And then on the other project, the one that Granny seems to be most obsessed with, was one day going to be a wedding gift for the little girl. See, she didn't see the master plan, did she? All she saw was what she could see. And you and I, when we ask the question, why, sometimes God's not going to reveal it to us because it's not necessary. It's above your pay grade. Are you with me? So here's some thoughts for you today. You can ask God why anytime. I just say check your motive while you're asking. And even before you ask the question, you ought to ask yourself, is this necessary? Is the answer God, or that I'm looking for from God, is it going to change history? Why did my grandpa die? If he tells you, is that going to bring your grandpa back? Do you tell me? No, it's not. Is it going to make you angrier or more confused? If he gives you an answer, are you going to keep serving the Lord even more passionately, even though the answer isn't the one you want to hear? You see, God has our well-being in mind. And there's some things he shields us from. And I've told you this before, those of you that have been here the last 22 years, when my wife died in the year 2000, I never once asked God why. Never once. All I did is praise him for the 28 years of marriage we had. I asked him to help me to serve him in a way that was greater than when Sherry had been alive, because my life was changing now. I did not have that person anymore. I could plan anew. Never ask the question, why, one time. The question was always, what can I do now, Lord, to serve you? How can I use what happened in my life to bless other people? Lord, is there a way in this loss that you can make me better? That's how we should respond to things in our life, not sit there and wallow in the why. Five ways that God may answer you. You ready? He may say, yo. When you say yo, it's a greeting. You say yo to somebody to get their attention. Many times, God could say to you, hey, you want to know? Here it is. And there are times God reveals his will to you. Okay? He will dramatically get your attention. Whether it's a flash of light, whether it's a warm feeling within, whether it's God just grabs your heart and you know it's God, he says, here's why this happened. Does it happen often? Not very often. But in Scripture, we do see that. I use the word yo. He does something to get your what? Your attention. He may say no. Have I ever had God tell me no? Yep. Do I like it? I'm as selfish as you are. No, I don't like it. But no means, okay, end of question, end of conversation. We would say to our kids, move on. How you respond to God's no shows something about your maturity. Third thing, he may say go. He may say go, which means there's an expectation for you to do something as he reveals that to you. In other words, go. You just live life, and little by little, like an IV dripping into you, I'm going to reveal this to you. Why would he do that? Because we can't handle the answer at that time. Little by little, God will reveal it to you. If he feels it's necessary for you to know. God has spared a lot of us the crushing feeling you get when you learn the truth. Have you ever learned the truth about something and it almost destroyed you? Yeah. Do you want that every day of your life? That's God's grace. And he will say, go, keep living life, keep serving me, keep reaching people for Jesus. And in time, you will know. He may say, number four, slow. It's the idea that you gradually will have this, but it's going to be further down the road. It's like the go. With go, it means you go and keep active. He may just say this to you, and I've had him do this to me. In time, you will know. In time. Then the last one is this. He may say so, and he'll ask you a question. Do you really want to know this? Okay, you say, yes, Lord, I need to know this. Then he's going to say this. Are you willing to make the changes in your life that are necessary to handle the truth? That could be a relationship. That could be a habit. That could be a belief system that you have. You'll say, great, I'll let you know. Are you willing to change? If not, you don't get it. Those are all things I've personally experienced in my life. How about you? Maybe not all of them, but I'll bet some of them. See, the issue isn't the answer isn't the main issue of why. It's really not. It's a legitimate question. It's how you respond to God. That's the important thing. Whether you get an answer or you what? Don't get an answer. Why is a really good question. We all have heartfelt questions. We all want to know certain things. But will the answer to your why question answer or change the past? No. Will it make your life better? Sometimes you get knowledge and it becomes crushing to you. So if you want the answer, you better make sure that you're going to live a better life in spite of the answer. The answer could be really good or it could be what? Yeah. The answer may cause you to love God and people more or to withdraw from God and from people more. Are you really sure you want the answer? Be careful of what you ask for. Throughout Scripture, God reassures us of his love, his plan, His provisions, his authority, control, and the idea that we are secure in our relationship with him. There's more important things to know in life than why. Why is a legitimate question. But unless it makes you better and makes you love God more and it drives you to minister to others, you better be careful in asking for the answer. Because if you get it, God gives it to you with certain expectations. And it's to live a better life, to love him more, and to serve others. So you ask yourself the question. The question is what? Why? Remember the question you want to ask God? We had you talk about. You want the answer? Okay, you may. Others may go, second thought, no. Some of you are living lives, it's like a vicious circle. You keep replaying the same scenario. You get money, spend money, have no money. Get money, spend money, have no money. You get the idea? And you want to know why? Because God's saying you need to learn to use your money biblically. But we haven't learned that lesson yet. And we want to know why, God. Why, God? He says grow up. Some of us need to grow up. Be careful of asking with wrong motives. But feel free to ask God why about anything that honors him, helps others find Jesus, and makes you mature. Are you with me? Okay. Hand open. Father, in our hands are a lot of questions. Some of those questions start with why. So before we ask you, may we make sure our motives are right. May we commit to being a better person, loving you, and helping others. And whether you answer us or not, we're going to keep asking with good motives, and we look forward to you answering if it's part of your plan for our life. And if it's not, may we keep doing the things you've asked of us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Why is what? A really good question. We're going to talk about wah words. And the wah word is going to be why for the next 8 weeks. It's going to drive you out of your mind. Go have fun. See ya.